talking and enjoying time, and we keep getting later and later doing this. The body of Christ is a wonderful thing when we can gather together. It's not about us. It's not about something we've done all week, but it's something that God has done in us and through us. And it's exciting that we can get together. And yeah, I love that it's not because of a church. It's not because of one group, but it's the body of Christ together that's exciting. And I love that when brothers and sisters gather together, there's something that knits our hearts together in something in a way that nothing else can. It feels like we may have known each other, or we could be really good friends, or we already are good friends because of what God is doing in each one of us.
Okay, Steve, over here.
Let's begin with a word of prayer. Steve, would you open us with prayer?
Lord, we thank you that we can gather together today, Lord Jesus. We ask your Spirit, and Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Let's stand. We praise thee, O God.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered the night. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb who was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Revive us again. Glory and praise to the God of our grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Revive us again.
Help if we got the actual right words in our thing up here. Hail Jesus, you're my King. So I'll have this side of the church will sing with me, and this side of the church will sing with Soretta, Christy, and Brandon. So we're unevenly matched, but that's okay.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will obey your word.
Blessing and honor and glory and power forever. This is my dad's favorite song, for those of you who don't know. He loves this song. It was my mom's favorite before she passed away. And now my dad loves when we sing it. So this morning we decided to sing it for him.
Trying to do it on our own strength. You know, there's that sign I've seen, you know, the footprints, where it says, you know, Lord, when the things in life are tough, I only see one set of footprints. God says, well, that's when I was carrying you. Those were mine. So often we're so busy thinking that we are doing it all on our own. We're so busy trying to do it on our own, instead of just trusting that God has us. He's willing to carry us through those tough times if we're just willing to let Him and give our strength to Him. Just let Him be there.
Beauty in our tears.
stand your way. Reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. You're the lifter of the lowly.
Your name is a strong in my
power to save children.
Thank you, Father, that your name has that kind of power. Because Jesus was willing to come to this earth to die on the cross in obedience, to wash our sins away, Lord, that the blood may cover them. But not only that, but he was risen again on the third day, Lord, and he lives and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, because of that, there is strength in the name of Jesus. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And Lord, thank you that we can live and know that that same God, Jesus, wants to live within each one of us, wants to desires to have a relationship with each one of us, desires to be there, to walk beside us, to be that God that is sovereign within us. And Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, as we come together as the body of Christ, as we share in communion, as we look to you in all these things, Lord, I pray that we would just understand that it's not because of us. We cannot work our way into heaven. We cannot work our way to salvation. But it is a free gift to all that ask and desire it. And I just pray, Lord, that you would do this and continue this work of sanctification and salvation in each one of us. As we look to you, as we desire you, as we seek after you, that you would continue to work within us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Anybody that wants, or any kiddos that want to come? All right. How are you guys? Good? It's so fun to see you, Lexi. So fun to have you back. Okay, so something that I've been thinking about lately is something that we all struggle with. We all deal with it sometimes every day, maybe a couple times a week, something that we all struggle with. Do you guys have any idea what that might be? The oldest person here to the, not the babies, but yes.
Moving.
That is a struggle. I think about that every day. You're right. Me and you have been thinking about that a lot lately. What do you think?
Moving.
Moving is a big job. It's a lot of work. But we don't all worry about that every day or deal with that every day. Is there any other ideas that you guys have? Can you think of anything, Benny? Like something that we all struggle with. Yes, Sadie.
I would come and help her.
You're a helper. That's awesome. So what I was thinking of, what?
Building?
Yeah, we do build. I was thinking about fears. Do you guys know what fears means?
Yes.
No? Okay. Do you know what being scared means?
Yes.
When do you feel scared sometimes? Is there ever sometimes that you feel scared?
I don't know.
Just sometimes?
In the night.
At night? Yes, me too. What about you, Benny?
At night.
Yeah. Sometimes at night, all of a sudden, I remember when I was your age, I was always sure a bear was going to come through the window. I just was sure. And so I was so scared. I would go sneak in my mom and dad's room and I would sleep with them on their floor. Yes.
When I hit a coyote, I would just run inside.
Yes, that's a good idea. Coyotes can sound scary. Yes.
If a coyote was outside and I saw it, I would just hide.
You would hide?
Yeah.
But would you feel scared? Well, you know what? You guys feel a little scared about those kind of things, or maybe sometimes we can feel scared that someone we love might get hurt or die, or that we might get hurt, right? Did you know that older people sometimes have things they're scared of too? Like moving, maybe, or like being scared that your children are going to get hurt, or different things. There's a whole bunch of things that we can feel scared about too. But do you know what God says that we should do instead of being scared? Do you have any ideas?
Talk to him.
Oh, that's a great idea. We can tell him, God, I'm scared.
Ask him what to do.
Yes, we can say, God, what do you want me to do? Because I'm feeling scared right now, right?
Pray.
Yes, praying is just talking to God. He said that we can trust him, that we don't need to be scared. But he said in 2 Corinthians, it says that we need to take our thoughts captive. Do you know what that means? That sounds kind of weird, right? But it means that if you're all of a sudden feeling very scared, instead of allowing that scared feeling, that fear, all the way to go into your heart, and you're just like, oh no, you can catch that thought in your brain and say, no, I'm not going to be scared. I'm going to trust God. And remember that he is so big and so powerful. He can take care of everything, right? And he protects us and he keeps us safe. Sometimes things happen that hurt us, right? And that do. But he is always with us. And so we're never going to be alone. Even when it feels scary, or like we might feel alone in a new city, or maybe just at night being scared, he's with us. Okay? So with that idea of keeping our thoughts, or taking our thoughts captive, it also says in Ephesians 6, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord, verse 10, and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Benny, do you know what the whole armor of God is? I'll tell you. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Ooh, we need a belt of truth, okay? And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that will protect our hearts. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Okay, we need a shield. We need all the cool armor, huh? How fun. So we need a shield of faith. Let's see, where did I? With which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So all those fears, Benny, that he's always trying to get you with, we need the shield of faith, right? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. That's a lot of words. But I have something here that I want to help you guys, that will hopefully help you remember this lesson, okay? So Benny, Denzel, everybody stand up over here in a line. And I am going to do my best to throw these past you guys. And let's say these are like fears, okay? They're kind of like, I woke up with a stiff neck, so I'll see you. I might not be able to throw them past you. You might be so good. So imagine that these are those thoughts, those fears that all of a sudden come flying in your head at any time of the day or night, and you need to take them captive. Don't let them go past you where they'll get into your heart, okay? All right, you ready? Okay, don't let him pass you. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I like hit you right in the eye with my first shot.
I think you got him in the forehead.
Did I get you in the forehead? I'm so sorry. I couldn't even do that if I tried. Good job not letting it pass you. Okay, don't let it pass you. Don't let him pass you. Watch out. Oh, don't let him pass you. No, 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 don't let him pass you. Annika, don't let him get past you. Zayden. Don't let it pass you. Oh, my. Oh, whoa, whoa. That was too high. That wasn't fair. Don't let it pass you. Don't let it get past you, Dom. Get rid of those thoughts.
Oh, okay, you want to do it one more time? Go gather them up. Let's do it again. See if we can get them past you. You only left like one?
Yeah, one.
One, which was too high. You guys got good reflexes.
Two
of them?
Two.
You got none? Here, give me that one. Good job.
What the?
Thank you. All right, line up again. Don't let them get past you. You ready, Annika? Watch your eyes. Oh, good job. Oh, that was a little too high. Here, Dom, don't let it get past you. Okay, don't let it pass you. Okay, don't let it pass you. Oh, Dom. Oh, no. I need to be faster. I need to be faster. Oh, I'm going to hit you again. One more. Oh, good job. Did you get to hit one? No? Let's try again. You ready, Zadie? See if you can get... Here, I got it for you. You want to do it one more time? Okay, we'll do it one more time. All right, what are some of the fears, again, that you guys deal with sometimes that you need to get rid of and not let them in your heart? What are some of the thoughts? Do you have any ideas? The scary thoughts?
Ugly stuff.
Yes, ugly stuff.
Alone.
Being alone. That's a good one.
Being alone in the dark.
Yes, those are scary thoughts that we don't...
Pray to God.
We need to pray to God, yes. But if we feel scared, is there anything you feel scared about? You're good. You're securing God. That's good. Yes.
Sleeping by yourself.
Yes. When you're scared and you're sleeping by yourself, remember, get those thoughts and take them out of there, okay? Pray to God. You ready? Here we go. Oh, here we go, Zadie. Hit it. Hit it. Hit it. Hit it, Dom. Oh, good one. Oh, no. Oh. Too many. Let Lucas hit this one. Oh, so close. Okay, Zadie. Here we go. Oh, so close. Don't let it pass you. Don't let it pass you. Oh, that one was too hot. Okay, good job. Now you guys can pick them all up and put them back here. You guys got good, quick reflexes.
Can I keep one for me?
No, just put them back in. There you go. Oh, man, I'm sorry. You're too good. You can stick them all in. Oh. No, put it in. Put it in, Benny.
Benny.
Thank you, guys. All right, remember, you can pray and trust God, okay? You can go back to your parents.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here, and welcome to our visitors and friends that come around once in a while. Thank you for being here this morning. It's a beautiful day outside, heading towards fall. It's getting nice and cool, so thankful for that, but I'd still rather have heat than snow, so... But a few announcements that we'll just quick take care of. There is lunch following the service, so everyone's welcome to stay for that. Henry and Leah had a baby daughter, Alice and Mary, on August 23rd, so congratulations to them for that. There's a ladies' book study this Wednesday evening at the church at 6:30, prayer Saturday morning at 7:00. And tonight is going to be a Hershey send-off to Thailand celebration. So I don't know if celebration is the right word. It should maybe be more like weeping and crying. But anyway, we want to celebrate you guys. So you have a good memory, final memory or whatever. So as I was thinking about communion today, Carrie, you sang that one song about what Satan meant for bad was, you know, God turned into good or something like that. And that is one of the things, you know, he was going to finish it off once and for all, but it ended up having the opposite effect. And that's how God works so much. And I was even thinking, too, of how he was in the garden crying out to God. You know, he didn't want to go through this, but then he said, still said, not my will but yours. And that willingness to suffer, if that's what God wanted him to do, is what saved the world or made salvation available to everyone. And he says we're supposed to be like him, so I guess that's what we're supposed to do too, be willing to suffer for others if that's what God calls us to do. So anyway, and that's what we're celebrating and thanking God for today. So so Phil's going to lead out into service today, and we'll just have a word of prayer and then go on into the service. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood that was shed and on the cross. And thank you for salvation today. And I just pray that you would be with Phil as he brings the word to us, that you would speak through us, to us, and through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. He is worthy, right? Amen. He is indeed. Let's begin, first of all, by singing happy birthday to those who have birthdays this month. We want to bless the Lord for you. Can we pull it up? There we go. Gloria Wagoner, Jemiah Fowler. They're not here today. Henry's not here today. Henry Trujillo. And then Christina Wiseman, you're here, so we're going to celebrate you. And all the others, let's sing together happy birthday over them. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to all of you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. You may turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2, just for a short meditation on the word. I always love this time of breaking bread together. For those of you who are visitors, we do it once a month here as a church, not as a religious conviction, but just as an engaging practice that the Lord has led us into. And we're so happy to have you here. You're invited into participation of this fellowship in Christ, because that's what it is. It's not a fellowship into a church. It's not a fellowship into a local church, is what I mean by that. It is a fellowship of the saints, those who are born again of the Spirit of God, who have their sins forgiven, are coming together to celebrate Jesus and that reality in our hearts. And so if that's you this morning, even if you don't attend locally here, you're invited to join us in celebrating Jesus in this way. Look what the early church did when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. You ever been that convicted? It didn't just condemn you in your mind. It went through your mind, and that condemnation you felt of your sin pierced your heart. Where the sin comes out of. Jesus said that in Mark chapter 7. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sin comes out of the heart. And so when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, he pierces his word down into the heart. He divides the soul and the spirit, Hebrews 4 says. He divides that, breaks the heart open. And that's where forgiveness meets a repentant heart. It is an act of the heart, not just the mind. Big difference. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? That's what every pierced heart says. Confesses, Lord, what shall I do? You immediately are willing to do anything the Lord tells you to do. There's a surrender when the word of Christ meets a heart and pierces it, breaks it open. The heart responds like Paul did when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Lord, who are you? And the next question was, what would you have me do, Lord? When he realized it was the Lord who was piercing his heart. That's called repentance. And dear friend, believer, brother, sister, this is not a one-time experience. Yes, the new birth is an experience of being born into the Spirit of God, but this kind of conviction of sin, it needs to happen to us every time we pick up His Word and take it in. Otherwise, it just becomes knowledge. And knowledge in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says, does no one any good. It doesn't edify anyone. But it is even worse than that. You know what happens to you when you take this book and you only take it in as knowledge and you won't let it pierce your heart and cause you to repent? You know what happens? You're like a balloon. What happens to the balloon? Begins to swell, right? What happens when it gets too much air? A balloon. Boom! Gotcha. The German word is aufgeblasen. It means blown apart, blown up. Knowledge in the King James says puffeth up, but love edifies. When this doesn't pierce our heart and bring us to repentance and we say, what would you want me to do, Lord? That surrender of our will to His, then it begins to puff us up. Doesn't do anybody else any good, but it's way worse for us. Begin to get arrogant is the other word. In my Bible, the New American Standard used the word, it makes you arrogant. That's so dangerous to read God's word for knowledge. Because you know what it does for me as a preacher? It's even more dangerous for me because of the call God has on my life to share His word. That means when it doesn't make me repent, it makes me arrogant. I got a word for you, sister. I got a word for you, son. I have a word that should convict you, brother. Arrogance. It builds me, puffs me up, and shoves the word down that you should be the one repenting. An arrogant spirit damages others. But worse than that, it blows me apart. Eventually, that's how it ends. Oh, but it didn't do so to these dear people. Pierced their heart, and they said, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing gift. Forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. That's all I need. Do you need anything more than that to live the Christian life in this world? Anything? Can you ask Jesus for even one more thing? Than to have all your past sins, every one, forgiven. Blotted out. The word is there. Blotted out. That means it's gone. You're separated from all your past sins. And then He gives you the power, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, His own breath inside of you, His Spirit as a comforter, as your strength, as your instructor, your guide in this life. I can't ask for any more. For the promise is for you, and not just for you, for your children. Hershey's. When you go to Thailand, this is His promise. The rest of us who stay here on the domestic side of our life. This is for us every day. Every word we take in is not just an individual promise as a dad. It's a promise for me and my children. Don't be selfish with the promise. And as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. Do you see? Here's the fellowship of his promise. Forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit to as many as God calls. And that is where our fellowship is. And with many other words, verse 40, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, be saved from this perverse generation. Not only does the word of Christ separate us from our sins through his forgiveness, when his Holy Spirit enters into my heart, pierces it, I repent, he tells me what he wants me to do. And you know what it does? It separates me from the generation of this world we live in. It did Apostle Paul. That day he quit being a Pharisee. Separated him from the life he had lived up until then. It will separate you and me too. What shall I do, Lord? And he says, I'm going to separate you. Come, follow me. So then those who had received his word were baptized, identified in Jesus Christ. And they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone, not just the apostles, not just a few, everyone means everyone. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Are you there? You can go to church. You can even have your own personal quiet time reading God's word. You can go throughout the day doing really good, being victorious, capturing, taking every thought captive, fighting the good fight of faith, fighting the devil. You can do all of that without this. Have no sense of awe of the Lord in your life at all. But when his word pierces your heart, your sins are forgiven every time he speaks to you. He pierces your heart. He brings that brokenness. What do you want me to do? And then he lives his life out in you, like he tells us in Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ is right now living through me. Right now, you're sitting here, and Christ is living through you. That's awesome. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That makes this awesome. Not just a dead work, not a ritual. Awesome. And you will sit here. And whatever you do, when that presence of Christ is real to you and I every day in his word, and he speaks his word and he gives me guidance, he speaks his word in a moment of need of my own heart, or maybe a need in my son's heart or my wife's heart, it just makes me go, wow, Lord. Wow. Didn't come from me. Came from you. Awesome. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. The Christian life will be a life of wonder and confirmation. Signs are to confirm, not to guide. Jesus said about the people in his day, that generation, they said, show us a sign and we'll believe in you. They wanted sign, a proof. And then they said their faith will follow the proof. Follow the sign first. Give me a sign that you're Jesus and I'll follow you, Lord. And Jesus said, you're an adulterer. This evil generation is adultery. You want to believe in something earthly before you believe in me. That's adultery. But signs, wonders, follow faith. It's a confirmation that the Holy Spirit says to you, see, I told you if you believe in me, I'll do it for you. I'll do it in you. I'll do it through you. I'll give you a word of encouragement for your sister right when she needed it. Didn't come from you. And you know, oh, wow, wonder at it. Confirming his presence. Confirming his leading us. Don't get the two mixed up. It'll mess with you. It'll destroy your faith. It'll lead you away from Christ when you look for a sign to follow God. Because Jesus wants to lead us with his voice. John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep look for signs and they follow me. No? My sheep hear my voice. Hear. And they follow my word. They follow my word. They follow me when they hear my word. So I share that to encourage us today as we come to fellowship together. We're going to do something that we do quite often together as a church here and just have a reading of the word, and then we're going to break bread together. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 1, and I have divided out Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. And I'm going to ask some of you different ones to come up. If we can, Merv, if we can have your mic available. And we're going to start with Hebrews. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 7. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 7. Merv, since you're up here, would you mind reading that for us? Hebrews 1, 1 through 7.
God, after he spoke long ago in the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is in the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power, when he had made purification of sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee? And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministry a flame of fire, and his ministers a flame of fire.
Brother Eli, verses 8 through 14.
But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe you will roll them up, like a garment they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool of your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are inherit salvation?
Brother Duane, chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Chapter 2, 1 through 4.
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will.
You can give the mic to Jenny, if you want to take the mic back. Jenny, verses 5 through 8.
For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him.
Brother Christopher, verse 9 through 13. If you and Autumn, I want to go up together because I have you next. You want to do that?
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me.
Then, Anava, I have you down as 14 through 18.
Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his holy brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted.
Chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, Patrick. Hebrews 1 through 6 of chapter 3. There's the mic.
Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting is our hope.
Verse 7 through verse 11. Salamia, would you read that?
Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your father tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they will always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
And then, I forget your name, brother. Would you read a scripture for us?
Sure.
Jade, you said?
Shame.
Shame.
Yeah.
Verse 12 through 19.
Sure.
Thank you.
Take care, brethren. Lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in failing away or falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all of those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? And with him who was he, and with whom he, let's go back, verse 17. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. 19? Is that it?
Yeah.
And then chapter 4?
Okay, we'll take the time now to come together in the fellowship and the breaking of bread. I'm going to just read these words to us as we do this. Thank you all for your participation in reading the word together. Paul tells the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says this to them, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's proclaim it together. Let's bow our heads in prayer, in surrender to the word of Christ,
as he tells us in Timothy, I want all men everywhere to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Come in faith. Trust him with your whole heart, child of God. And if you're here and you do not know the Lord Jesus, maybe it's just been a head knowledge. And today you heard his voice. Don't harden your heart. Come and let it pierce your heart and break it asunder, your will. Surrender to him. Receive him as Lord of your life, Savior of your life. Repent and confess your sins, and he will wash them all away through the power of forgiveness, blot them out, and receive you. Come in faith. Child of God, if you're here struggling and you feel unworthy, receive his worthiness, his love into your heart. Come in faith in his finished work on the cross and receive the Holy Spirit into your life. Maybe in a greater way than you ever have before. Have this fellowship with him. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, in Revelation chapter 3. I stand at the door and knock. If he is outside of your life or outside of an area in your life this morning, and he's knocking on that door, open up. He wants to fellowship with you and me. Here we are, Lord Jesus, in your presence. I pray, fill every body as your temple with the sense of awe, your sovereign love and care that makes us wonder at who you are and how well you love us. We come, Lord. We come. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, for those of you who haven't been here maybe and seen what we do is we have the piece of bread back here, and our deacons serve us here. They have little grape juice in the cups. We just file through as the Lord leads you with your family. Or if you're here by yourself, take a piece of bread and a cup and bring it back to our seats. And then we all wait for each other until everyone has. And then we thank the Lord for the breads. We participate that together. And then we thank the Lord for the cup. And we drink together at the same time. And fellowship around this amazing, wonderful privilege that Jesus invites us into together. So feel free, as the Lord does. We're going to go ahead and play a song. I have a song that I'll be back, Derek, to put on the screen for you. One thing I enjoy about the Christian life and walking with Jesus is that we have a very good dad in heaven who is full of surprises. Good dads love to surprise their children. And we don't even come close to all the good things that the Lord has prepared in his heart to share with us as his children. And I've learned that if I walk through the day looking for the surprises, man, he surprises me before I even wake up. He usually wakes me up with a surprise. And it's a celebration of the new birth, the birthday every day. Just God is full of surprises. Jesus told us that the person who was born again in John 3, he said, Holy Spirit is... this person is like the wind. You don't know where he's going to lead you next, where he's coming, where he's going. But you know it's the wind, the breath of God. It's one of the great joys I've found in my Christian life. And today I had that happen. Did you say it was Shane? Shannon. Oh. Okay, Shannon. Shan. Well, today he surprised me. He's a brother who's who pastors a church in Johnstown, good friends of the Hersheys. And I was thinking we're going to probably have about 10 minutes or so, 10 or 15 minutes for testimony time. But as I got to meet you, brother, and just sat here, I felt like the Lord said, give him some time to share. Would you mind? Just whatever the Lord has put on your heart, just take some time to share a testimony with us. See, I'm like the wind, too. I surprise you.
Okay. Well, let's open with a word of prayer first. Lord, Heavenly Father, just please lead and guide my words, that this testimony is not mine, but it's yours, that you, Lord, are the ultimate. You are the one who created all the heavens and the earth. And, Lord, that everything that we have is in you, everything that we have been given. We are a steward of your graciousness, of everything that goes on around us. So please allow whatever the testimony is that you have for us today, that it's not just hearing from me up here, but it's also, Lord, what are you touching in the hearts of each one of us? What is it that you have for each one of us to not only to know you better, but to also see your glory pouring through each of us to those who will come to know you? So, Lord, please be my words, that these are your words and not mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm not exactly sure. God was kind of putting on my heart just a minute ago as you invited up. The interesting part about a witness or being a testimony for Christ is that when there's a situation that you have in front of you, the question is God leading you to it? See, one of the things that God does is he goes before us. He invites us to join him there. And then he gets the glory. And we get to partake in that glory, right? And so in our lives, every single day, a witness is that we are to be his ambassador. We are to be his witness. And that means as he brings people to us each and every day, he gives us the eyes to see where he's working in their hearts. He gives us the ears to hear from his spirit so that we can be guided to what he wants us to think, what he wants us to say, and what he wants us to do. And that's every day. It doesn't matter if you're at the grocery store. It doesn't matter if you're at church. It doesn't matter if you're at your family event. It doesn't matter if you're eating lunch afterwards. Wherever it is, God brings people to you for that purpose. So the question is, are we that witness for him? Not a preconceived idea, not as he was preaching this morning, not about knowledge of scripture and, oh, I want to share this with this person when I see him next and preconformed all these ideas. It's like Jesus, when he sent out the 12, he said this. He said, do not worry about when you're taken captive or when you're questioned about me. Don't worry about what to say. At that moment, you'll be given exactly what to say by the Spirit. So you don't have to worry. It's not your decision to make. It's not your words to come up with. It's God giving you the words at that moment to share with that individual. If it's God who created all the heavens and the earth and he knows each one of us by name and he knows each one of us, our struggles and our challenges and our trials, do you think that he knows the people that are coming in contact with you? Do you think he knows what they're going through? Do you think he knows what they need to hear in that particular moment on that particular day? Then who are we to think we have anything to offer other than Christ's words pouring through us? Amen? Amen. And so that's really the witness that I have. That's the testimony that I have, is that each and every day, no matter what situation he puts me in, is, Lord, how can I glorify you? How do I see you working? How do I hear from your spirit as to what to think? Because he gives us the spirit of wisdom, right? Opens up my perception. He gives us a spirit of revelation to know what to think, say, and do in the situation. So how are we doing that each and every day? And the quick, brief testimony that they asked of me earlier was, well, you were a pastor of a church. How long have you been there? Only about 3 years. And then the next question was, what did you do before that? Well, I was a doctor in Longmont for about 20 years. And then God called me into full-time ministry. And this is exactly what I've been doing each and every day since I've come to know him. Not just as my Savior. I knew him in my early 20s as my Savior, but not as my Lord, not as my director of my life until about 8 years ago when I started rereading, and I was reading through the church in Ephesus, the letter in Revelation where he's reading, and he's sharing with the church in Ephesus, and he says, hey, you've done all things right. You're doing great, but you forgot your first love. And that was a conviction of my own heart, going back to when I remember the Spirit coming into my life and the Spirit guiding me. And then I started to take this world of knowledge. And just like what you were preaching this morning, I took the scripture in and I tried to memorize it. And I tried to think, okay, now this is what I understand. And then how am I supposed to apply it to my life? And in that challenging point, I've recognized, God showed me, it's not about what you know, Shan. It's about what I'm showing you. It's not about what you think you want to say to somebody. It's about my word piercing the hearts of people, just like it was preached this morning. How are we truly following what God's asking? And I started reading more about the Spirit in Romans 8 and John 14 and John 12, and it talks about how the Spirit leads us in all truth. He teaches us all things, and he reminds us of everything Christ commands us. So as I started to follow him in everything, my whole practice as a doctor started to shift. In the last 5 years of my practice, I would say I did more ministering to the people, and I'll say the congregation, the sheep that God gave me at that time, than I really did being the physical doctor that I was. And as that transformed, then God called me into full-time ministry. So here's the question. God's call on your life, it may be one thing, as some are called to be pastors, but not all. Whatever the spiritual gift is that God has given you, one or many, give those back to him through the body of Christ. As we give our gifts back, we all rise up in faith and immaturity. We all grow in our faith and our connection and our relationship to him. So that would be the... What I would share is the testimony that I have for you today is when God asks, go. He goes before you. He's going to paint this picture. He's going to go before you to truly have you walk this path. The question is, are you available to walk it? We all are available if we make ourselves available. Does he know you have time commitments? Does he know you have commitments throughout your day? Yes, but don't you think that he wants to be right there with you? Don't you think that he wants to pour his love through you to those around you in and through all of those events of your day? It's not just about church. It's not just about Bible studies. It's about where you work. It's about where you go. So don't think for a moment that he can't take you and his love pouring through you to others. Don't think for a moment that he's not wanting to use you each and every day. That it's not just a one-time moment. Oh, I had this event 3 weeks ago, or I had this event 6 months ago, or 10 years ago I had this experience with God. No, each and every day. He says his word, he wants to be our constant companion. He wants to be with us all throughout the day. So I just pray that. My prayer this morning is that we would all be able to see him working and join him every moment of every day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. I believe we're all called to full-time ministry. We might not be specifically ministering, but whether we're at work, like you said, whoever we meet throughout the day, wherever we are, it's part of God's plan. And I was even thinking of of the communion service this morning. You know, we want to remember Christ's body, and it's great to do that as a group, but we need to remember that individually every day as we go through our life. And I think that would change a lot of things if we would remember that. So, all right, that's the end of this part of the service. We feel like lunchtime is just an extension of the service. So, again, feel free to join us. And we'll thank the Lord for the food and then be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for being here today. Thank you for this service and for each one here. I pray that you would bless us and guide us throughout this next week and in the future. I just pray that you would go with each one and be near to them. Thank you for this food, and thank you for those that work to prepare it. I just pray that you would bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.